Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin's beautiful natural areas have inspired many artists, including those of the Prairie School, like Frank Lloyd Wright, and also a landscape architect, Jens Jensen. Bill Tischler, William Tischler, is an emeritus professor of landscape architecture at UW-Madison, and he is the author, most recently, of the book Jens Jensen, Writings Inspired by Nature. Really pleased to have him back to talk about this latest book of his and talk about Jens Jensen, talk about his architecture, and certainly answer questions that you may have about him. Have you heard of Jens Jensen? Are you familiar with his work here in Wisconsin? Very well-known landscape architect who he did an awful lot, not only in Wisconsin, but certainly inspired people across the world. A lot of work in Illinois, and especially in Chicago. So great to have Bill with us today. And certainly if you have questions or comments or experiences that you might want to share relating to Jens Jensen, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or comment there. And by the way, we also have a link to Dennis's book at on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. It's from the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, and we have a link to the press there. So you can get right to it. Bill Tischler, welcome. Great to have a chance to talk to you again.
Yes, good to be here, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Well, tell us, Jens Jensen is a pretty interesting guy. Did he inspire you to a career in landscape architecture, or was he one of the ones that inspired you?
Yes, he did. He certainly did. When I was in college at UW, I worked for 2 summers at Peninsula State Park. And the superintendent there, a man named Lowell Hansen, was a landscape architect. And I did some work with him and got terribly interested in what he did. And so I came down to Madison, never having been to this city before. And Mr. Hansen told me to talk with Bill Longenecker. And I remember going into Longenecker's office, and we talked more about the program, and I enrolled and stuck with it ever since. Here I am today.
That's a great story. And by the way, I still appreciate and liked your book on Peninsula State Park, which is a wonderful book. Anybody who visits that park should read that book. And I hope that's – did that do well? Did that sell pretty well?
It's done quite well, yes. Yeah. It's done quite well. It's gotten a lot of good reviews.
Yeah, I could believe that. Well, I'm sure you're going to get some good reviews for Jens Jensen's. What you've done here is a collection of his writings, and I really like the method you chose, the selection method, and how you – sort of the ordering of how you present them in the book.
Yeah, there are some 39 essays in the book. They're in chronological order. Jens Jensen is best known as a designer, but he was also a rather prolific and interesting and visionary writer. However, I found that many of his best writings were in obscure or out-of-print publications. Yeah. So when I was at Madison, I had the luxury of going into the fourth floor of Steenbach Library, where they had a lot of the old agricultural journals and so on, where Jensen published some of his pieces. And I thought, gee, these are just as relevant today as they ever were,
yeah.
Certainly as at the time when he wrote them, and they should see the light of day again. So I began gathering them, and eventually they were able to come out as a book.
Yeah, it's very, very, very cool. And you're right, as you read these, although you kind of kept his style or the verbiage that he used, what he's got to say is pretty relevant to what's going on today in this world of ours.
It certainly is. He was a strong believer in the role of nature in the lives of people.
Yep.
And he would say things like, we should build more parks rather than asylums and institutions. And he was absolutely right, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. By the way, you can join in with a question or comment at 1-800-642-1234. Tell us about his early life. How did he come to be a landscape architect in America?
Well, he had an interesting life. He lived to be 91, died actually in 1951, and he was a native of Denmark. Grew up in a little settlement near Sundeborg, which was one of their small cities, actually, on the Baltic Sea. In fact, his farm was near the Baltic Sea, and from his second-floor bedroom window, he could see the ocean. Later, it would come to remind him of the prairies that he would see after he moved to America and settled in Chicago. Well, at the age of 24, Jensen, with his fiancé, decided, we're going to go to America. One of the reasons was because at that time, the Danes had lost a war with Germany, and the province where Jensen lived was under German rule. And I guess he didn't want to live under German occupation, and he didn't want to be a farmer, even though he grew up on his family farm. And so, also, his family didn't approve of his bride-to-be. So they
there's a lot of things going on there.
Yes, there are. So he decided, let's take off for America. He ended up in Florida, where he worked on a celery plantation briefly, and then in Iowa briefly, and finally he moved to Chicago, where he found a job as a street sweeper with the Chicago Park System. He stayed there a number of years and worked his way up to become the superintendent of Humboldt Park, a large park. He did a lot of park design work there. And because he was such an honest guy, he wouldn't go along with the corruption that was quite evident in Chicago politics and in their park system. And so he was fired. And that's when he began to start his own private practice.
Very interesting. But to that point, before we go on, how did he have any formal training, or did he just learn kind of on the job?
He did go to a Danish agricultural school, but he also studied in Danish folk schools. When the Germans took over that part of Denmark, the Danes, of course, didn't want to lose their culture, their history, their way of life. So they started what was called a folk school system, where students would spend a lot of time out in the field. They would go out and start gardens and grow things. They would learn about Nordic history and mythology. They would sing some of the traditional folk tunes of their area. It was a way of not having them lose their sense of being a Dane while living under German rule.
Oh, and so that's where he got his initial training, and then probably, well, starting out as a street sweeper.
Right. When he was in Denmark, he was conscripted into the German army, and he served in the Prussian Guards and spent some time in Berlin. And Berlin at the time had a wonderful open space system. This really interested him, and in his spare time, he would go out and walk through the gardens and boulevards and sketch some of them. And that also was a major influence on the profession, the career that he later went into.
And he had such an influence on and the aesthetics, I guess you could say, of the Upper Midwest.
Yes, he did. When he moved to Chicago, he became familiar with some of the prominent people in the city, including a couple of professors at the University of Chicago, one of whom was Henry Chandler Cowles, who is considered one of the fathers of American ecology. Cowles and Jensen would go out into the area surrounding Chicago. Chicago wasn't quite as big as it is now. They would go botanizing. And Jensen learned a lot from Cowles about plants, how to identify them to some extent, how they could be used and so on. But also the natural features of the Midwest, which really intrigued him. He admired the prairie rivers and the vast prairies and the vegetation that did exist to the north of Chicago. He was great at reading the landscape.
Yeah, he was. And he was, what was his relationship, by the way, to the Prairie School of Architecture?
He was a founding member of the Prairie School. He was, for a time at least, a friend of Frank Lloyd Wright's. He was a friend with other members of the Prairie School, including Sullivan. He was actually with Sullivan, the prominent architect, when Sullivan died. And poets, writers like Vachel Lindsay, social critics like Jane Addams and others. He knew all these people and was very closely involved with the Prairie School. He was very much an advocate of the Prairie School because he felt that the Midwest should take on its sense of place from what it was really all about, what it looked like. It shouldn't emulate the gardens of France or the gardens of Italy. The Midwest, he felt, had its own character, and this should be looked at, examined, and understood, and incorporated into the things that were designed, which he certainly did do.
Yeah. We, Bill Tischler, our guest today, as we talk with him about his book, Jens Jensen's Writings Inspired by Nature, published by Wisconsin Historical Society Press, talking about Jensen and about his writings, and certainly inviting you to join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. His ideas about parks were, he was more interested in sort of, at least the city parks, if I'm not mistaken, and a natural look. He didn't like things that were necessarily sort of trees and bushes that were sculpted, for example.
Exactly. He was a strong believer that a landscape should look natural. It should incorporate native plants. It should incorporate geological and water and rock features. And this is what he did in virtually all of his projects. You could look at a Jensen project today and never assume that it ever was designed by somebody because it would look so natural.
His work, and we'll get into this, his work has been far and wide, and certainly his reach and his influence on others has been far and wide as well. Bill Tischler, our guest today, Emeritus Professor of Landscape Architecture at the UW-Madison, he's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today to talk about Jens Jensen and certainly to answer your questions and comments when you call in. That number to call again, 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@WPR.org. And we will be back. We're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. Then we'll be right back. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today as we talk about a guy who had a big impact on our state and, frankly, the nation. His name was Jens Jensen, a landscape architect. And Bill Tischler, William Tischler, is an emeritus professor of landscape architecture at UW-Madison, has put together a book of his writings and tells a nice story about Jens Jensen as well. The title of the book is Jens Jensen, Writings Inspired by Nature, published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. If you'd like to get a copy, I'm sure there are going to be copies available at any of your local bookstores. But for ordering information, too, you can go online to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question, a comment there. And while you're there, find out how to get a copy of Bill's book. You may know about The Clearing, for example, here in Wisconsin. And that was, that clearing is there because of Jens Jensen, and we'll tell that story as well as we visit with him. And certainly, again, if questions, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org, and we would love to hear from you. And Joan from Door County has been waiting a while, so let's go to Joan and see what's on her mind. Hi, Joan.
Well, I'm thinking about The Clearing. I live here in Door County. That's a treasure for us. And I was interested to hear your guest say that Jens had gone to a folk school in Denmark. And I wonder if it was always his intention that The Clearing would become a folk school. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Actually, he always had that in the back of his mind. And Of course, after he left public service with the Chicago Park System, he started his own practice and had a studio at Ravinia, Illinois. But then in 1934, his wife died. And a year later, his grandson, who was going to be the heir apparent for his practice, a guy named Kenneth Jensen Wheeler, died of an aneurysm right after he graduated from the landscape architecture program here at the university. So Jensen said, well, I've had enough of city life. What I'm going to do is try to work in my lifelong ambition and start a folk school of sorts. So he moved up to Ellison Bay in 1935 at the age of 75 and began to start this school. He took with him his longtime secretary, a very conscientious and dedicated woman named Mirtha Fulkerson. And together, they worked out their plans for the clearing and began construction. And the clearing survives to this very day, thanks to the good efforts of a lot of volunteers and a lot of dedicated people. They have some wonderful programs in subjects like writing and photography and nature appreciation and quilting and so on. So, yes, this was something that Jensen, I think, always had in the back of his mind and was able to create essentially at the clearing.
It's a great, great story, and we're so lucky. We're so lucky that we have it. And I know I've had so many people on this program. Jerry Apps is an example of someone who has taught at the clearing or has taken classes there. I've been there a few times, too, on some things on behalf of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Did he make a fair amount of money in his life? I mean, to put the clearing together and the property and everything.
He was always—he was never very wealthy, for sure. He was always looking for funds to help the clearing get going. Funds from some of his clients, distinguished people like Henry Ford and Edsel Ford and Ogden Armour and others. But no, Jensen never made a lot of money. One of the reasons was he would try to give scholarships so that students could go to the clearing and learn about what was being done there, learn about his philosophy without a big tuition fee.
Oh, man. And he was passionate about so many things. I mean, I was sort of back up and go back a little bit to his time in Chicago. One of the areas he was very passionate about preserving the Indiana Dunes.
Yes, he loved the Indiana Dunes for a couple of reasons. One was it was a beautiful natural area with some terribly interesting plants and other natural features. And two, because it was in close proximity to Chicago. And he fought hard to have a Dunes National Park established. And right after the Park Service was organized, Stephen Mather, who is a friend of Jensen's and was initially from Chicago, became its first director. And they worked hard to have at least part of that area set aside so it wouldn't all become part of a vast steel mill complex. And what happened eventually, there is an Indiana Dunes State Park. There is an Indiana National Lakeshore, somewhat similar to our Apostle Islands National Lakeshore in terms of what it does and how it's governed. So he was successful.
He had a big impact in that. probably wouldn't have had it without him.
That's right. He brought many groups there on field trips. He helped organize three groups, the Prairie Club, the Friends of Our Native Landscape, and the Chicago Playground Association. They loved to take field trips. And they would go down to places like the Dunes. The Friends would have some of their meetings there. They'd sit around. They'd bring a picnic lunch, sit around the bonfire, and sing America the Beautiful to open their meetings. And then maybe Jensen would, or somebody else, some other distinguished person, would get up to speak. They really had quite a time. The Friends was one of our leading early conservation groups. Of course, they're no longer in existence, unfortunately. But they did a great deal for conservation throughout the Midwest.
We have some emails. By the way, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. An email from Melissa in New London. She said, I've long been an admirer of Jens Jensen, and I incorporate the natural look in my home landscaping. I heard once that he designed Highland Park near downtown Chicago. Can you verify this? Also, was he one of the originators of the community cement pools for public swimming outdoors?
He didn't actually design all of Highland Park. There was another landscape architect that did, though, a man by the name of Horace Cleveland. But Jensen did do a number of projects in Highland Park. There is a fairly large number of his estates and parks in that part of the North Chicago area.
And what about the community? It doesn't sound like he'd have been an originator of the community cement pools, but maybe?
Cement pools. No, I think that he did utilize cement pools in many of his designs, but I don't think he was an originator.
Okay. He came from kind of, in a way, a common background, and he was, as I understand it, interested in the common man, the common person.
Very definitely. He spoke out very forcefully about slum conditions in Chicago. He was a great advocate for having more parks in areas that were essentially slums. He felt that people having a close association with nature would become better people, that nature had a very important force upon the character of people, and he advocated that all of his life.
And Susan wondered in an email if Jens Jensen and Piet Olf, if you're familiar with P-I-E-T, Piet Olf?
No, that name doesn't ring a bell, but it sounds pretty
He's a garden design, was a garden design person, just wondering if there were similarities in their concept of garden design. That's not a name that rings a bell with me either, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Susan, we can't help you out there. Maybe somebody else can. Gary in Bosque Bell, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Thanks, Larry. Having been born in 1947 and seeing the landscape that I remember as a child probably overlapped some of Jensen's life and the inspiration that he took from the rolling prairies and the glacial deposits and in the oak forests and savannas. And I'm just wondering what your guests and author would think if Jensen could come back now and see that landscape completely, especially in the southern part of the state of northern Illinois, completely, almost totally obliterated by grain agriculture and houses and subdivisions. I'm wondering what that impact on him as a landscape architecture and the inspiration that he got from the landscape that he saw, and what kind of inspiration anyone like Jen Jensen's could get from a landscape now that's been so devastated by agriculture and population growth.
Well, I think Jensen would be completely overwhelmed. He was always a very forceful speaker for protecting important natural environments. This would disturb him to no end, and I've often thought about that, especially as it relates to my own native Door County, where I grew up in Bailey's Harbor. I'm always a little concerned about some of the development that occurs there. Sometimes I think it's a little too much, and he would have thought so as well.
Yeah. Gary, thank you. Appreciate your call very, very much. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. How did Jensen come to Wisconsin, by the way? I know he was in Chicago, I suppose, somehow landed in Door County at some point, obviously,
well,
for one reason or another.
Yeah. He always liked to go outdoors and check out various landscapes. And one evening, he was sitting at home and read of an ad for a resort at Beaver Lake, Wisconsin, over in Waukesha County, in the Chicago Evening News. And he thought, well, gee, this sounds like an interesting area. It must have a lot of beaver and other natural amenities. So he went up there with his wife, and they stayed in a resort. And this was as early as about 1909. But later, as he explored the Kettle Moraine area, which he was quite intrigued by, he moved further and further north into Wisconsin for some of his outdoor trips. And eventually he came to Door County, which he fell in love with virtually the minute he saw it. And eventually he purchased 120-some acres of land just to the north of Ellison Bay on the shoreline overlooking the waters of Green Bay, where there were beautiful sunsets and some interesting open fields and forest remnants. Later, he decided this is the place, this is the best place for me to start my school, the school I've always dreamed about, a school based on the Norwegian folk school tradition, which became The Clearing.
Ah. Joanne in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. Yes. I was responding to the woman who called in from Door County. There is a folk camp in Tyler, Minnesota, based on the Danish Grundtvig school of thought, and I thought you might be interested in knowing that.
That's very interesting. And Grundtvig was really a clergyman who started the concept of the folk school and was very influential as a result.
Oh. And so the concept, the overall philosophy behind it is what?
It was basically based on teaching people to enjoy life, singing, dancing, adult discussion, crafts. And we do that for 2 weeks every summer, one in June and one in July. And it's in an old dorm, and we have a lot of fun.
That program is definitely in the Danish folk school tradition.
Definitely. Thanks, Joanne.
Oh, you're welcome.
And again, where is it located?
It's in Tyler, Minnesota.
Tyler?
You can find it on the web, DanivelleFamilyCamps.org.
DanivelleFamilyCamps.org. Thank you so much. Appreciate it very much. We have, I have to look that one up. Email from Doug in Madison. I grew up at the foot of Glenway Park in Madison. What can Bill tell us about this park? When was it started? When was it finished? What brought Jensen to Madison? And are there any other parks in Madison that he did? I have many fond memories of playing in Glenway Park.
That's a great park. And Jensen did make many trips to Madison. His good friend Franz Oust headed the landscape architecture program at the time. Jensen would come down and speak to students, and sometimes they would take a trip out to Taliesin to visit Wright and watch some of the plays and operas and musicals and so on that occurred there. But Jensen designed Glenwood Children's Park near the end of his career. It was a gift of the Gardner family from Gardner Bakery Company, which still exists today, a gift to the city of Madison. And it was designed in an old rock quarry. And Jensen incorporated at the high point in the park one of his landmark features, a council ring, which was a circular stone formation, which he placed in many, many of his designs. You can also see one of those at the north end of the Arboretum, near the corner of Arbor and Glenwood, or Monroe Street. There is located the Kenneth Jensen Wheeler Council Ring, which Jensen designed and as a tribute to his grandson, who had passed away, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And it was built by his son-in-law, Hudson Wheeler, who was an outstanding stonemason. He knew just how to lay up the stones to replicate the stone formations along parts of Lake Michigan and some of the Prairie Rivers in Illinois.
Oh, that's so cool. And that's Judith. That's where she's that's where she lives. So she lives in that area. So you're giving her goosebumps as you talk about this. Oh, man. We had a comment from Nancy, who lives in Bailey's Harbor, and now teach at the clearing in winter. She teaches canning and rushing. I'm not sure what rushing is. I don't know. But she says, I know that Jensen and his wife had lived in Lombard, Illinois, and then he built a water feature at Lilacia, is it, or Lilacia Park? Lilacia? Lilac. It's not, it looks like it's Lilac, like Lilacia Park, mm-hmm. when that he started what became the Lilac Festival there.
Someone just told me that, and I wasn't aware of it. But I did hear this, yes. Jensen was always anxious to do anything that would help people learn more about the natural environment, including lilacs. Although he liked to use mostly native plants, he occasionally did sneak in a non-native plant, like lilacs, for example. And he felt that these plants have been with American pioneers for so long that they're like pets. And, you know, it's okay to put them into a design, even though they're not non-native.
Well, he you know, in a way, his move to the clearing was, as you say, it happened because his wife died. And then so there were a lot of sad things in his life that took him there. But once he was there, his life was pretty good there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It's amazing how vigorous he remained. He was 75 when he moved up to the clearing, and yet he continued to be involved with a number of projects. He was always a little critical of the CCC and some of their work at Peninsula State Park. He felt they cleared out too much of the important undergrowth. And he was a great proponent of a county park system. He was on the Door County Parks Commission. He did a number of other things in Door County, protecting Cave Point from overdevelopment and other things like that. He eventually met and became a good friend with William Evue, who used to vacation in Door County for a couple of weeks every summer. And Evue would often write about Jensen. And later, starting...
He was the editor of the Madison Capital Times, the publisher.
That's right. They became good friends. And later, in the early 1940s, Jensen started a regular column about various conservation issues in the Cap Times, where he proposed things like Whitefish Dunes State Park, a preservation up at the Mink River area. He was a founding member of the Ridges Sanctuary, so he remained active virtually right up until the very end. He died in 1951, and fortunately his dedicated secretary, Mirtha Fulkerson, worked endlessly to try to keep the clearing going. They encountered the usual financial problems that you might imagine. Then eventually the Farm Bureau took over. Then eventually a group of former students and friends of the clearing formed a clearing friends group, and they purchased the clearing from the Farm Bureau, and they essentially run it today. There's a great group of people who are on the clearing board of directors, and they're doing a great job of keeping things going in the proper way up there.
Oh, yeah. These are some great stories of which we you write about in the introduction to your book, but also you've given us such a good sense of him, and we get such a great sense of him by reading the writings that you selected for your book. I mean, this is a wonderful selection.
They're pretty visionary. People don't know as much about Jensen as they do, of course, about Aldo Leopold and John Muir, but in my view, Jensen ranks right up there with them and, of course, some others. But he was a leading conservationist, and he did a lot for Wisconsin and the Midwest and beyond. And fortunately, we are lucky enough to have inherited some of his legacy today.
Been fun to have Jensen and Leopold and maybe Wright have a beer with them sometime. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, boy, that would have been a fantastic experience. Right. Right.
Bill, this is a great pleasure. Thank you so much for coming by today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Larry. Thank you.
William Tischler, author of Jens Jensen, Writings Inspired by Nature. I hope you'll have a chance to look at it. It's published by Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show, and you get a link right to it. So glad to have him along. Tomorrow, that big snow day, Paul Novak talks with us about baking bread. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.